And this is Monitor, and I'm your host this Saturday evening, your fuzzy friend Richard Hayes. And we've all got a date with a blonde just 2 minutes from now, and she's Dorothy Provine, the girl who brought back the flappers. Or did they ever go away? Anyway, later on, we'll hear Bob Newhart take off on big business. We take off right now with Herb Alpert, Abanda. Pinkham was her name in the Roaring Twenties on television, where she became the best-known flapper of our times. Now, in real life, she's Dorothy Provine, and she dances, and she sings, and she acts in motion pictures and TV films and flaps all over the place. She was interviewed for Monitor in Hollywood by reporter John Cannon.
Dorothy, you have taken the 1920s rather seriously, haven't you?
I've always been interested in that period, and I've done research on it in school, you know, when I had to write theses and term papers and whatnot. I'd always find an excuse to write something about the 20s.
How would you portray the 20s? What kind of an age was it? For those of our audience who didn't live through it, and to remind those who did.
Well, of course, I don't know, but my impression was that of a time of innocence more than anything.
A Scott Fitzgerald period?
Oh, he's one of my idols. I think that that, of course, being right after the First World War, these people all of a sudden were throwing off the puritanical ideas and ideals of the earlier period that preceded that, and they thought they were being wildly wicked and naughty by shortening their skirts and wearing, you know, extravagant clothes, and the expressions which to us now seem very corny were very risque then. And when one looks back on it, they think, you know, compared to now, it was a very naive period.
Dorothy, somebody said that for a while there, you were so involved in all this that you personally were wearing clothes styled in the 1920 fashion.
Well, now that's a bit of an exaggeration. Actually, I was wearing clothes which were a bit ahead of the style. As it happened, the clothes I was wearing during that period were coming into fashion and are in fashion now. They were simply shorter skirts and, you know, the look that is popular now. I wasn't going around dressed in beads. You know, I've been accused of that, but it's not true.
Well, were the people in the 1920s, in your opinion, were they kind of making believe? Were they telling themselves they were happy, or were they really enjoying? this age of innocence that you talked about?
I think it was difficult to say. I think it was a creative age, mainly. I think that's the important
creative
thing.
In the arts?
Yes, some of the greatest writing that's ever been done, American writing and painting and things, went on during the 20s, not only in America, but in Europe as well. It was a renaissance, I think, of the arts, in a way. And I think we're seeing that now as people become interested in things of that period. Some of it, I agree, is faddish and whatnot, and is not truly an interest in something beautiful. But there are many things that came out of the 20s that I think are very worthwhile.
Well, Dorothy, we do congratulate you on your success, and we hope that whatever you wish to do in the future, it'll all fall in for you.
Thank you. I hope that for you and wish that for you and everyone.
We've been talking with that bouncy blonde who, like most blondes, has lots of brains, Dorothy Provine. She's back in an old habitat to the world, or rather the underworld, of crooks in a picture called Who's Minding the Mint? This is John Cannon from Hollywood for Monitor.
Yeah, never mind who's minding the mint. Who's minding Dorothy Provine? Aye, there's a job you could enjoy, huh? Here's Al Capone. No, that's Tony Bennett. I'm sorry.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can't go where life leads me. And somehow I know I'll be strong. For once, I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
One good song deserves another, so you'll hear Pet Clark in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon.
Lee Miles will fix your transmission. Get up and go. Lee Miles, since you've got 4 miles to come and keep that car running.
with your transmission? Don't take chances. Take it to a pro. Lee Miles, rated by famous Popular Science magazine as one of the nation's most respected transmission experts. You pay only for what you need at Lee Miles, the most trusted name in transmissions. M-Y-L-E-S, coast to coast. Look in the yellow pages.
Lee Miles, Lee Miles. Guarantees perfect condition. Get back, back, get up and go. Come on in and get your transmission fixed by a pro.
That's Lee Miles Transmissions in Passaic at 785 Main Avenue, in Brooklyn at 812 Remsen Avenue. Lee Miles, the conversation station, WNBC, New York.
At 18 past the hour, here's Miss Clark with The Cat in the Window. Monitor on stage. Star performances recording at leading theaters and nightclubs all across the country. Here's Bob Newhart, and he's showing us what would have happened in ancient Roman times if they had used a little of our modern know-how in business. Here's Bob as chairman of the board of the General Chariot Corporation.
Okay, the meeting is now in order. You fellas in the back there, you want to knock it off? Now, let's put down the grapes and send the girls back to the kitchen, huh? Well, fellas, I guess I don't have to tell you that General Chariot is not too happy with the sales picture. Now, we think our big problem is promotion. It always has been, and it will be in the future, I'm sure. Now, we brought in one of the top sales promoters in the business. Flavius here. Flav, you want to stand up? I'm sure you're all familiar with Flavius's work. As you know, the Coliseum was really losing a lot of money until Flav stepped in and brought in the Wild Animal Act. And as you know, it's doing turn-away business right now. It's really one of the great promotional campaigns of our time. Incidentally, it's a great, great place to take your friends, or to see your friends, depending on how carefully you pick your friends. Fellas, the chariot business has really undergone some major changes. Our major problem, the motivational and research boys tell us, is that we keep coming out with the same chariot year after year. Now, we got to modernize our thinking. Now, this is 421 B.C. We're going to have to look ahead to 420. Now, Clay here suggested maybe one year we stick some fins on it. The next year we'll stick some holes in the side, 3-4 holes. Then, Herminius, you have a question there? Will the holes in the side have any practical value? Yeah, they're going to keep us in business, Sir Minnie, is what they're going to do. All right. Now, the advertising people have come up with an idea which I think is really great. For every gladiator who kills a lion, we're going to give him a new general chariot. And, of course, we'll get a lot of... You have another question there, Herminius? Well, what would a lion do with a chariot, Herminius? A lot of the dealers have been complaining about the little chariot the Huns have come out with. And so we're adding a compact chariot. We're going to stick the horses in the back on this one. Not only will it give us better traction, but it also gives the driver a nicer view. Gentlemen, I think we can look forward to a very sick. Yes, I have a question. Oh, you'd like to leave? You have an appointment? Well, yes, go ahead. I'm just about to terminate the meeting. Now, I think we can look. You'd like to borrow what? What, the knife? Oh, there you are. I think we can. You're welcome, Brutus. I think we can look forward to another successful year for General Chariot, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. And this meeting is now dismissed. Thank you very much.
Bob Newhart for Monitor on Stage. Well, now, we took a vote here and decided Johnny Mathis should be heard from next. So here's Misty Rose.
You look to me like Misty Rose. Too soft to touch, but too lovely.
Tomorrow afternoon, your host on Monitor is Henry Morgan. His guests include Nancy Sinatra, who tells you why she couldn't have refused her father's help in her career. Probably many reasons for that. Jan Pierce, the opera star, he talks about his hopes for a culture corps, a plan to exchange and encourage the arts. Ben Grauer will be interviewed about the new NBC News Picture Book of the Year, an unusual new volume which he edited. And you'll meet a 19-year-old college student who hitchhiked from Des Moines, Iowa, to Fairbanks, Alaska. That ought to be interesting. He's going to show you his tired thumb and everything. Of course, there'll be Monitor Sports with Sandy Koufax, Mel Allen, Joe Gragiola, and features from regulars Al Capp, Frank Blair, Hugh Downs. Hey, never sleep those guys, do they? That's all tomorrow afternoon, so why don't you listen to Monitor? Baltimore and Ohio Marching Band. They belong to the Train Workers Union, you know. When they strike up the band, they really strike. In Pennsylvania Dutchland, you're listening on WGAL, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and this is Richard Hayes for Dead Steel. He's on vacation, reminding you to join Monitor every weekend.
Monitor, your weekend companion for all seasons, here on the NBC Radio Network.